Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. Great.
Welcome back, top of the hour, 1 o'clock East, 12 o'clock Central. Thanks for watching us here on this Monday. Hopefully your Monday includes fantasy football wins, but if it does not, don't despair. We're going to help you out throughout the week for sure. Still one game left. Maybe this will decide it. I know that I've got tonight a chance with Darren Waller to get another 20, 30 points with my game in the books, but I'll be watching for that. Baltimore Ravens on the road tonight, -4.5 with the game in Las Vegas against the Raiders. Marshawn Lattimore signs a 5-year extension with the Saints, and a great win for them yesterday for sure. Twins and Yankees this afternoon. 7 games in Major League Baseball tonight. I'll have my eye on the Marlins again. Davis doesn't want to hear it, but I got to keep watching the Marlins till the end of the season. Oregon and Iowa move into the top 5 after their road wins this weekend. Oregon, a shocker, goes into Columbus and beats Ohio State. Iowa, of course, beat Iowa State. Notre Dame almost lost this weekend, Davis, but there's no doubt that this week is the week that Alabama finally goes down. They are 14.5 point favorites. The spread is too high, Davis. The Florida Gators are waiting in the wings this Saturday at 3:30 Eastern. Got to get it done. Gators got to get it done this week.
Well, Craig, I wish you well. I hope that your Gators give them a contest. But I got to say, after watching that Miami-Alabama game, I watched about a half of it because it devolved into being not interesting very, very quickly. Alabama looks unbelievable. They somehow look even better than the Mac Jones with 4 first-round picks grouping. Like, somehow they look better than with the Heisman Trophy winning Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle. I don't know how it's possible, but they honest to God look even better.
Yeah, the Gators will have their work against them coming up, but I don't know. Hopefully it'll be a good game. That's what we hope for. And that's where my mind will be Saturday, 3:30 Eastern for sure. Davis, Mekhi Becton, the left tackle of the Jets, suffered what looked like it could be a season-ending injury, but it looks like he's only out 4 to 6 weeks. Why is this significant for the running game of the Jets for sure? But of course, also for their young quarterback and Zach Wilson, not the best news, I think, to start off the season for the Jets, no doubt.
No, not good news at all. In fact, if you were going to say who is the one offensive player that you wouldn't want injured for Zach Wilson's development, I definitely think you would say we need 17 games of Mekhi Becton, because now, even if Jameson Crowder gets healthy and they have the Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, Jameson Crowder grouping at wide receiver, I still don't know if you can feel confident in your evaluation of what Zach Wilson puts on film as a rookie. And we're already seeing the heartbreak associated with that, because Sam Darnold, who the Jets let go of, he looked pretty good yesterday. I mean, he didn't look like, you know, guy wasn't like prime Aaron Rodgers or anything, but he looked pretty good yesterday. Slightly better offensive line, better weapons there in Carolina than he had in New York. So you really don't want this, and I feel bad for Brett. You know, his Mets have given him a bunch of heartbreak, and now he's got to watch Mekhi Becton leave the field on a cart. Never fun to see that.
All right, tonight, Ravens and Raiders. I think the Raiders will have all Raider fans tonight in Las Vegas. I would assume that is the case. I suppose there is some sentiment. I talked about this on the Sunday show, Davis, that apparently a lot of the tickets that are being sold to these games are to the opponent over the course of the season. I guess everyone is making it their trip to Vegas this year, so keep an eye on that as the season goes on. But for tonight, I would assume all of Las Vegas will be in black, rooting for their team. Monday night dogs are usually, what, 55%? Like, it's a pretty incredible bet over the last 40 years. But it is the Raiders. So I think they're going to blow it, Davis, at some point and lose. It's just a matter of if they lose by 4.5 or more. Who do you like tonight?
I mean, come on. We got to like the Ravens. Now, the Ravens do have some offensive line injuries, which I think is why this line is only 4. But when you have Lamar Jackson, it's just so easy to get up 10 points and to just suffocate the other team because he creates the running lanes for whoever the running back is. I think it's going to be a lot of Tyson Williams tonight. I don't know if we're going to see that much of Latavius Murray or Trenton Cannon, who is going to be the third running back tonight. You know, I would imagine it's probably we see 40 combined carries between Lamar and Tyson. And look, I mean, I know that Rashad Bateman is not active, but I don't hate the skill position, you know, the wide receivers there for the Baltimore Ravens either. And I'm very bearish on the Las Vegas Raiders. I think they're a really uninspiring team. And they have a bunch of offensive line troubles tonight as well. I believe they're missing 3 of the guys they expected to be their starting offensive lineman. I know Richie Incognito is not playing. And one of their center is also not playing.
Yeah, so look, I this is one that definitely, you know, the night games, as I mentioned, I'm usually checking out. In terms of checking out, meaning that I'm not watching. Tonight will be one that I'm very curious about, at least in the first half of this game, because I think that this could be a great environment to see a game in Las Vegas with fans there. I never really felt last year watching any of those games that it was even interesting to be playing in Vegas with no fans, but I think that tonight definitely will change that. All right, coming up next, I thought we were not going to overreact to week 1 of the fantasy football season, but it's a fantasy show, so I guess we are. So potential best ball busts already after week 1. We're going to hit on those coming up next. Also, we got a Monday night pick'em possibility, and how are we going to play tonight? Of course, we're going to go play on Underdog tonight, and we're going to give you a promo code to get you started. So make sure you stay with us here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. We'll also preview a couple of other things going on in sports a little bit later in the show. We've got Fantasy Reality or the Sports Grid 60. Still recaps of some of the other games as well. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today in just 2 minutes. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, who doesn't love a free bet? That's what you're going to get tonight by going to the app Underdog and playing tonight on the format. Great app will give you an opportunity not only to make some money, but you can parlay some of these pick 'em games tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing who Davis likes tonight in terms of that for fantasy over-unders. The promo code, by the way, is GRID, G-R-I-D. You get yourself a free bet. You have nothing to lose by downloading the app. It is free. It is for you there, and we're going to give you some advice. So make you money and give you a free bet. I don't know that it gets much better than that. Of course, the app is called Underdog, so just make sure you type that in correctly. All right, Davis, so best ball season is in the books. Clearly, fantasy draft season is in the books. Already crowning some possible busts here. I love it after week one. So let's give me your idea as to who that could possibly be. And look, I mean, looking at these names here, these are guys that didn't fare that well. You want to throw things at your computer after they didn't do very well.
Yeah, and the thinking here is that, you know, not necessarily that these guys are not going to be, they're not going to be zeros for fantasy, but just that where you drafted them, there were guys you needed to take, right? So our first one here on my potential best ball bus in the Underdog Best Ball Mania Championship with $1,000,001 of first place. If Mike Evans continues on the target tree that he's had, I think Antonio Brown's presence is going to be pretty brutal for him. You could have taken either Rams wide receiver where you took him. You could have taken DJ Moore. Obviously, you could have taken Chris Godwin instead of him. Those guys were right next to each other in ADP. So I am legit worried about Mike Evans because he was already trending down in terms of efficiency. And if he's not going to score 12 touchdowns this year, it's going to be a problem. You have to be worried about Ezekiel Elliott after week one, not because of Tony Pollard, not because, you know, Elliott looked terrible or anything like that, but kind of the reasons that we don't really like the Bills running backs, right? We didn't really like Zach Moss. We didn't really like Devin Singletary because that team is going to throw about 70% of the downs, and that Dallas looks like they're going to be a similar team, and that wouldn't be a concern if we thought, oh, yeah, well, you know, Elliott's going to get his five targets a game the way that he always has in years past. That did not happen at all, and I know we got to rewind our brains all the way back to last Thursday to remember what happened in that game, but Elliott was not involved in the passing game there at all. Then Brandon Ayuk, I just need to say I am worried about Brandon Ayuk because if you're not out there, if you're not on the field, you are not going to be getting fantasy points. That's pretty obvious, and for whatever reason, Brandon Ayuk seems to have drawn the ire of Kyle Shanahan, and I really liked Brandon Ayuk, but he got pretty expensive. You know, he ended up with an average draft position of right around 48, 49, kind of that tail end of the fourth round. That meant that you were taking him over T. Higgins or Jamar Chase. That meant that you were taking him over his teammate Deebo Samuel. You were taking him over Michael Gallup. You were taking him over Chase Claypool or Deontay Johnson. And that, you know, that looks pretty brutal. We didn't get to the Patriots yet, but Ramondre Stevenson fumbles, banished to the nether realm. I mean, do you think that we even see Ramondre? Like, is Ramondre Stevenson going to be a game day inactive for J.J. Taylor next week, Craig?
Yeah, there's actually, I read a report during the break from NBC Sports that said, I mean, you can't predict Belichick, saying that, by the way, Davis, both of their running backs may not play, including Damian Harris, for him fumbling too, which we're going to get to. Now, again, you know, just reading one of the reporters' reports there. But with Steven, look, he just doesn't play guys who fumble. So I think all four of these are accurate. Yeah, I would say probably Ayuk for me the same. I mean, I don't know what's going on there, you know, and I think that's the scary part. Like with Zeke Elliott, I know when they're on the 1 yard line, he's going to get the ball and fall in the end zone. And I assume Mike Evans, when they're near the goal line, you know, Brady finds a way to get guys the ball. Eventually, they'll have good games. But if Ayuk is not playing, like, oh my gosh, like where did that come from? That was not something that I knew. Okay, so tonight, for people who are going to log on to Underdog and type in the promo code GRID, Davis, let's give a quick explanation once again for people who are new to this, how it works, and some possibilities in terms of playing where they can make money tonight.
Yeah, so the way that it works is pretty slick. You download the app, you use promo code GRID, you know, you got your little Underdog fantasy app on your phone. You can access it too, by the way, on your desktop. I use it on desktop every once in a while, but the mobile app, I mean, I'm telling you, it is so clean, it is so slick. Like, it really is probably my favorite app in fantasy sports, which is one of the reasons why I was so excited about this partnership. But the Pick'em game, very simple. So you cannot make any of the of these pick'em wagers in isolation. You have to make at least two, and you can make up to five. And every additional wager that you make adds a multiplier to your wager. So if you have done, if you make five wagers, it's 20x. If you make four, it's 10x. If you make three, it is 6x. And if you make two, it is 2x, right? Pretty simple. So I mean, look, at the end of the day, we're all making five wagers. We all want the 20X. We all know what we're about when we're logging on to make some of these picks. Like, we all want the 20X, but I have three of them here. Now, I did these earlier in the morning, and our friends over at Underdog will have a wider menu of options for us. When you, like, if you guys are clicking on this right now, you'll have more to pick from. But I have three here that I really liked. The first one was Lamar Jackson over 294 and a half total yards. That means passing yards and rushing yards. I mean, come on. This is like our friends over at Underdog giving us free money. I think Lamar passes for probably 210 yards, maybe 220. And I honestly think he runs for 100 yards tonight. I think that he is going to go berserk on this Las Vegas Raiders defense. By the way, if you are playing the single game contest anywhere, right? The Battle Royale game that you have on Underdog, or if you're playing any of the single game contests on FanDuel, definitely want to make sure to have our friend Lamar Jackson in those lineups, because he is going to go nuts. And then I've been talking about him for a couple weeks here on the show, but Tyson Williams, I am very bullish on him in this game. I do not anticipate a big role for Latavius Murray. I do not anticipate a big role for Trenton Cannon. I don't think Le'Veon Bell or Devonta Freeman are even going to be active for the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night against the Raiders. And then I waffled on this final one, but everything, you know, about what I understand about football and what I think is that I just think the Raiders are going to have a tough time in this game. And I think that it's just going to be hard for Derek Carr to even complete, you know, 20, 25 passes. So I'm going under on Darren Waller, 6.5 receptions. 6.5 receptions is just a lot. And I know Darren Waller is great. And if I lost that part of the wager, I don't think I would be that surprised. But I do think under 6.5 receptions for Darren Waller is the right direction to go.
Was Tyson Williams, this is the first, I've never seen Tyson Williams play. I got text this weekend asking me about him. I'm like, you are asking the wrong person. I have never seen him play before. Was he, you know every single one of these players because you have your depth charts and everything over at Daily Roto, but was he anywhere as like a possibility for you beyond Dobbins and beyond Hill? Like, I mean, now I know who he is. For the last week, I know who he is, but I just have zero awareness of like visualizing this player.
So I got to be 100% honest. I never really took him seriously for fantasy until all of these injuries. He was like not a great college player. I mentioned this on the show, but he played at North Carolina, South Carolina, transferred out of both of them, and then ended his career at BYU. Yeah, very, very bizarre college career. I think he caught only like 22 passes his whole time in college, but he was phenomenal in the preseason for the Ravens. Phenomenal. Looked unbelievable as a runner. In fact, if you got a spare minute, go look up his touchdown run in the preseason. He gets hit, keeps himself up, balances, like vaults himself over into the end zone by throwing his hand into the turf. It was a really incredible run, and I think that's how he sold himself to the Ravens coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is it's always fun in fantasy to have these kind of guys. Cleveland had a guy last year, too. I forget his name. Ernest Johnson, was it? I think that was his name. I don't know. But it's like you get that chance and Tyson Williams could be like top pickup of the season in fantasy, or he could fumble twice. We never hear from him again. And that to me is always an interesting story. All right, coming up next, we'll hear from Brian Flores, head coach of the Dolphins. Dolphins and Patriots. We'll recap it next. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
AFC East battle between the Dolphins and Patriots saw the Patriots, more or less dominate this game from start to finish, but a late fumble by Damian Harris for them really doomed them. They were going to win the game, field goal or touchdown, but sort of gave it away. Bill Belichick so mad after that one yesterday. Let's look at the Dolphins first, then we'll get to New England. Tua was pretty good yesterday, 202 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown, 1 interception. Miles Gaskin, no surprise, was the leading rusher for Miami, 49 rush yards, 5 receptions, 27 yards. Jaylen Waddle scores his first career touchdown. He was 4 for 81, and also Devontae Parker had 4 receptions for 81 yards. But the good news for the Patriots is that it looks like they made the right decision keeping Mac Jones. He was really good in this game. I watched a lot of it. 29 of 39, 281 passing yards and a touchdown. Damian Harris, the takeaway is he looked really good, but who knows now after he fumbled away the game in the end. James White had 6 receptions for 49 yards. Nelson Aguilar picked up where he left off last season, third team in 3 years, 5 receptions, 72 yards and a touchdown. And Jonnu Smith at the tight end position had 5 receptions for 42 yards. But the key play in the game, very late in the fourth quarter, less than 3 minutes to go, Patriots driving for game-winning touchdown or even field goal. And Xavien Howard pokes away the ball from Damian Harris. Miami runs out the clock. Brian Flores talked about the game-winning play.
Look, he's a great player. And, we needed a play there, and he was able to knock it off of him. Recovered it. Obviously a huge play in the game, allowed us to get the ball back. Then we turn around, and, that's the complimentary football that we've talked about. Offense goes in there, gets a first down, gets a good defense. We're able to run it out. And end the game with the ball.
Yeah, we'll see how far Belichick goes with this, Davis. Like, you just really don't know. Like, would it shock you if Damian Harris doesn't play at all this week? I mean, honestly, no. I know it's crazy to say, but Belichick is, like, in your head with some of this stuff. The good news for them is they played better than Miami, for sure, throughout the course of the game. It's just the one mistake in the end really cost them. Tua was okay. Good to see Waddle, though, scoring his first touchdown.
You know, that was my takeaway. You knew like 900 things happened in this game, but you knew that I was coming here and saying, bye, Jaylen Waddle. It's time for Jaylen Waddle to fly. The other takeaway is pick up James White or try and trade for him, because James White, he is going to get all of the important running back work for the Patriots. I absolutely guarantee it. He's the only running back in there that they trust right now.
Yeah, probably a good call there if he's still available in your league. Hey, the Denver Broncos are 1-0 after going to the New York Giants and manhandling them. Teddy Bridgewater, 28 of 36, very efficient, 264 passing yards, 19 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Melvin Gordon, oh my gosh, gave me a heart attack yesterday. Are you kidding me? He gave me 101 rushing yards. I played that guy, did not expect this. 3 receptions and a touchdown. Farewell to Jerry Jeudy. We'll have to get into that. 6 receptions, 72 yards. He's going to be out for a bit. Tim Patrick scored a touchdown. Noah Fant had a nice game, 12 fantasy points, 6 receptions, 62 yards. The Giants were just absolutely pathetic at home. Daniel Jones fumbled again, 267 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. And I suppose if you didn't watch the game and just looked at the fantasy points, you'd say Daniel Jones did well. Sterling Shepard, 7 receptions. He also had 113 yards and a touchdown. Darius Slayton, 65 yards through the air. Kenny Golladay, 4 for 64. Saquon Barkley did not look great for the Giants yesterday. And so, you know, Davis, I am not bullish at all on Denver. I'm not going to believe, you know, what I saw here. I am with you on the Giants. I mean, this may be the worst team in football. They look like – I mean, Atlanta looked horrible too. But the Giants, I mean, this is a team I got to fade.
I think they might be the worst team in football. I actually think they might be worse than the Texans. The only guys you're starting from the Giants, you just got to start Barkley, right? Like we expected him to look bad in this game. He will look a little bit better. I do think you can start Sterling Shepard. Pretty brutal for Jerry Jeudy, obviously, to suffer the high ankle sprain, had to be carted off. You know, we hope that he's back in 4 to 6 weeks. Again, hopeful on that. Don't think that that is at all guaranteed. Melvin Gordon was having his normal Melvin Gordon 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Boom, pops off, 70-yard rushing touchdown. Good for him. Again, I think this backfield is going to be Javonte Williams' sooner rather than later. But, I mean, the headline here is Teddy looked really good. Teddy played an A-plus game here. So that's good for Sutton. That's good for Fant. That's good for, you know, Tim Patrick or KJ Hamler, whoever takes the snaps now that Jerry Jeudy is out. So the Denver offense, I think, can stay on schedule with Teddy.
All right, let's go over to the New Orleans Saints. Jameis Winston says, Craig, you're totally wrong about me. Proved that yesterday for sure. It didn't take long. He threw 5 touchdowns in this game, 148 passing yards, efficient. Anytime they got into the goal line, Jameis was throwing. He looked great. Alvin Kamara, 83 yards on the ground. He salvaged his day with a touchdown. Deontay Harris was the leading receiver. 2 receptions, 72 yards and a touchdown. So guess what? He'll be picked up this week, and so will this next name, big time, Juwan Johnson. Know nothing about this guy, but guess what? Elijah Mitchell and Juwan Johnson are your number one and number two adds this week in fantasy. Callaway did nothing. 3 receptions, 21 yards, 2 touchdowns. We'll spend 30 seconds on Green Bay, Davis, because that's all it will require. Here is the graphic. No one did well. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams. I threw Valdes-Scantling on here. I don't know why, but there was just nothing else. The Packers looked horrible, and the Saints look great.
Yeah, I have nothing. I have nothing to say about the Green Bay Packers. We'll figure it out when they play a competitive game. One word of caution. Juwan Johnson played on only 12 of 62 snaps and only ran 10 routes. He did score 2 touchdowns. Adam Trautman was out there a ton in this game. He actually ran the second most passing routes on the team, played 51 offensive snaps. That was more than anyone other than Callaway. That was even more than Kamara and Deontay Harris. So if Trautman got dropped because of his injury troubles, I think he is an add too. And I just, before we get to, you know, some of these other teams here, I would like for you to apologize to Jameis Winston. I want to hear an apology to Jameis Winston.
It's only one game. I'm not going to do that yet. He looked great, undeniably. But I have to at least give it one more game. I'll give a full apology after the next game if he has another good one. I promise. Callaway, any was it just a script that just didn't work for him? Because I have him in a league now, and can I play him next week or no?
I mean, he's just the thing is he might be their top wide receiver in terms of playing time, but targets are earned, not given. And if you're not very good, well, then you're not going to earn the targets. And that's kind of as simple as it gets. So I think it's going to just kind of be whack-a-mole with these Saints guys. Like, it's going to be, you're definitely starting Alvin Kamara. And then after that, it's just like, well, who knows in a given week.
Yeah, I mean, totally wrong for one game for sure on Winston, but not, you know, got to see a little bit more. All right, don't need to see much on this one, too. Boy, very rare where you see a team that's a big favorite just sort of do exactly what you thought they would do. Matthew Stafford was fantastic last night for the Rams. 321 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Darrell Henderson looks like the primary back for the Rams. No one else getting involved. 70 rushing yards, 1 touchdown. I thought he was a good pass catcher, but I only see 1 reception here. Cooper Kupp was a monster, 7 for 108 in a touchdown, and Van Jefferson surprisingly got in the action. He had 2 receptions, 80 yards, and a score. Not much for Woods yesterday, but the Rams dominated this game. Andy Dalton, what are you going to say? I assume he's not going to start this week, but what do I know? 27 of 38, 200 passing yards and interception. David Montgomery looked good, 100 yards on the ground. Marquise Goodwin. You know, I always like Mark. I keep saying that, Davis, on these shows. I like Marquise Goodwin. I don't know why everyone gave up on him. I thought he was a pretty good receiver, and Cole Kmet gave you 9 fantasy points. But look, there's no excuse for Fields not to be playing. And the Rams just toyed around with Dalton all day long. They knew that it was either run the ball if they were going to throw it. They're like, yeah, go, throw.
Yep, no excuse at all for what is going on with the Chicago Bears. On the Bears side of the ball, a couple interesting things. The first one being that Cole Kmet played on 51 of 69 snaps. Jimmy Graham played far, far less than him, only played on 14 snaps, ran 9 passing routes. That was like a little bit of a slight concern heading into the season that Jimmy Graham, you know, kind of like the Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams thing where age before beauty, but that does not look like that's happening for the Chicago Bears, and looks like Kmet is going to have a chance to break out, which is good because we are begging for there to be more playable tight ends in fantasy. I mean, we just talked about Juwan Johnson, who played 12 snaps. So definitely a position where we're needing some usage. Another big thing from this game, 2 big things for me from the Rams. The first being Daryl Henderson played 49 offensive snaps. Sony Michel played 3. Michel got 1 carry. The third running back, Jake Funk, played 0 snaps. So Daryl Henderson, locked and loaded running back 1. The other one, and this one might even be bigger, Tyler Higbee did not leave the field. He did not. He played every single offensive snap for the Rams. So that means that he led the Rams in pass routes run as well. He was targeted 7 times. They threw him a couple screens. So Tyler Higbee, he might be the answer to, out of all these tight ends, you know, this huge, big morass of tight ends. You know, we got Logan Thomas, and we got Tonyan, and we got Cole Kmet, all these guys. Higbee, to me, with the information that we learned in week 1, looks like the one guy who might actually break out at the position.
Would you bet the Bears right now, assuming they're going to make that quarterback switch on Wednesday? I mean, I cannot believe they're going to start Dalton again.
No, I think they will. I really think they will. I just think that Nagy is going to be that stubborn, and I think that we need to see another loss, and then we'll get Fields.
Crazy. All right, coming up next, it's time for Fantasy or Reality. We'll also hear from the newest member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. I don't want to ignore those guys that got into the Hall of Fame this weekend. Some unbelievable speeches. Paul Pierce, Chris Bosh. We'll hear from Bosh coming up next. And also, we got Fantasy or Reality on deck. A little pivot away to football as we close out the show. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting in.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat
sensitivity.
After 7 p.m.
One cheat day. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Great.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. And of course, for those of you who are not, you may want to check out our Twitter handle and follow us there to watch Ariel Epstein betting from gas stations in New Jersey, because that's what we love to do at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Make sure you go ahead and follow us there. All the news, all the information, the sportsbook consigliere, he's on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, giving you his thoughts. And every once in a while, they'll post something from me or Davis. That's on Twitter, at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. I do not want to forget that this weekend, it was football. And so, of course, the Hall of Fame ceremony was overshadowed a little bit. This was, you know, extended. They had to wait a little bit to get this in. A lot of great players went into the Hall of Fame, players that Davis watched, players that I watched, including Chris Bosh, who was close to my heart here, winning championships with the Miami Heat. Unfortunately, he was forced to retire early due to blood clots. He was asked if getting to the Hall of Fame sort of puts a bow on his career after having to retire.
It's definitely given me closure as a player. It was very tough not being able to play. I saw myself at least playing until this age, maybe having one or two more years left in me. I think Paul was saying earlier, he went out of his own terms, and I said, oh, that's, you know, hey, ride the wave until you can. It was tough. It was tough to get over. I identified totally with being a basketball player. That was my everyday thing, and I didn't even know how much time I was put into the game until after it was gone. So I had to deal with that. It's pretty much like a loss, because it is, and then go from that to going straight to the carpool, straight to, being there for my family. And those are the things that really helped me kind of transition, because there were so many things that needed to be done. So I fell right into that, and it was great for me. And, you know, even though losing the game was tough, I think this definitely gives me closure, and it's just so amazing. I wanted to do more, and I'm still able to be with my heroes, and I didn't even get to finish what I, you know, in my mind, but I'm able to put that to rest now and just enjoy celebrating being here.
Davis, I was a big Bosh fan. I think that he was the unsung hero on those Miami Heat teams. Everyone remembers that he was the one that got the rebound, kicked it out to Ray Allen. Ray Allen hits the shot, and the Heat go on to win the championship. But Bosh to me, sort of changed the game too, because a lot of players right now in the NBA remind me of him. Big guys who shoot, block, and do everything. And at the time, there weren't a lot like him.
I am completely with you. Bosh, one of my a weird guy to have as like your favorite, but he was like such a preview of what the NBA would become, right? So a big guy who didn't really rebound but could dribble, space the floor, shot three-pointers, was really comfortable. Give him the ball at the elbow, he can kind of distribute a little bit. And also he was like the secret ingredient of those Miami Heat teams, because he was the most unselfish. He didn't care about his shots. He played great defense. And I just always felt like Chris Bosh kind of got a little bit underrated. So I'm very glad that he is a member of the Hall of Fame. That makes me really happy, because he really deserves it.
All right, let's turn it over to Brett Levy for this day's fantasy or reality.
All right, guys. Well, we're heading back to the football field, because the Saints had a pretty big upset yesterday, and they looked pretty good doing it. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. The New Orleans Saints had the most impressive Week 1 win. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I think relative to expectations, this has got to be a reality. You know, all the people were on Green Bay. They were, they were evacuated. This wasn't even a real home game for them. Like, they've spent all week, like, sleeping in hotel rooms and trying to figure out, like, if their families were okay. Like, probably they were on the phone with, like, their house insurance people. Like, what happens if my house gets flooded? Do I get power back? Like, what's going on with all of that? So not a very comfortable position for them to be in. Jameis, I thought, looked fantastic. If it's not the Saints, though, I feel like the Rams were about as impressive. Like, I think the Rams showed we can hang with Tampa Bay, we can hang with the Packers, we can hang with anyone. Like, we deserve to be viewed as a dominant team in the NFC. But I think this is probably a reality. I mean, Jameis, like, to me, Jameis was the most impressive player relative to what people's expectations were for him.
Yeah, I think it's close for me. I think the Saints look great. I just think that Green Bay was just off. Like, I mean, from the beginning to the end, I don't want to take away from the Saints, but it was just a very weird to see. I thought Houston was really impressive too. But look, the team to me that had the lowest win total that looked the best going into the season, or looked the worst going into the season, was the Eagles. Like, I really was shocked how well they went in both offensively and defensively and did what they did to Atlanta. It's very possible Atlanta's terrible. I mean, that definitely does exist. But they were at home playing for a lot in front of their fans and were completely flat with a good team offensively, at least make the game 23-22 or something like that. But my gosh, the Eagles just dominated them. So I'm going Philadelphia, actually, after week one. Brett?
All right. Well, Craig, we're heading to the diamond for this one because you mentioned you watched Max Scherzer yesterday. He had his 3,000th career strikeout. But our question, we're predicting the future here, and we're looking in the next 5 years, there will be more than two pitchers to get 3,000 lifetime strikeouts. Craig, is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, it's interesting because we see a lot of milestones in baseball, 500 home runs, 600 home runs, 3,000 hits, wins. And so I thought naturally by looking at this, the answer would be reality. 5 years is a long time. And so Davis will have the data for you here. But basically, Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke are both getting to 3,000 strikeouts. And then I don't think anybody else is. I mean, you would think with all the strikeouts going on in baseball that somebody would get there. I can't find anyone. There are other players, I think, that have a chance to get to 3,000 strikeouts in the next 10 years, maybe. But my gosh, I think this is a fantasy. You would think with guys striking out 13, 12 per nine that we would find someone. I can't do it. I'm going to say fantasy. Greinke, yes. Kershaw, yes. And then that's it.
Yeah, that's it. And so there are a couple things at work here. Now, one, it's easier than ever to generate strikeouts, right? Like, batters are striking out more now than they ever did. So theoretically, it should be easier. But guys are also pitching fewer innings than ever before. Like, guys are having four-inning starts. Guys are having five-inning starts. Guys are going on the IL for things that people would have never gone on the IL, back in Nolan Ryan's day or whatever. Like, Nolan Ryan would have pitched through, like, blisters on his thumbs or whatever. That's just kind of the way that that baseball was back then. And I'm looking at the list, and the only guy I could see getting close is 30-year-old Garrett Cole has 1,647. So if he pitches to be the age that Justin Verlander is now, if he pitches to the age that we expect Zach Greinke to get there, I think that Garrett Cole could do it. But I guess the question is in the next 5 years, and that would be close, right? So that would be he'd have to get like 300 a year for the next 5 years, and if he did that, then he would get there, and that would just be it'd be too difficult. So you know what? I'm with you, and I'm saying Greinke does it. Kershaw ends up doing it, and then after that, no one else. So I'm saying fantasy.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that could be the case with all the strikeouts, but good points for sure. All right, Brett, let's close it out.
All right, guys. Well, I had no idea this happened, so I doubt either of you do as well. Evander Holyfield actually fought in a boxing match this weekend. He didn't win, and crazy enough, I think Donald Trump might have been there announcing it or doing some commentary work. So it seems like it was a wild event. But Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Evander Holyfield fighting this weekend was an embarrassment. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I mean, it seems really sad anytime these guys are drug out from wherever they were and whatever they were doing and brought back to do something that's going to cause them pain. you know, it seems like we have a pretty good idea of the impacts of like football and boxing and hockey, these high contact sports. It tends to not be particularly good for the brain. What is it? They found a link between involvement in boxing and Parkinson's because it like just jars your brain around. So that seems pretty sad. And you know, it also seems sad in the sense of like, well, probably he's doing this because he's in debt or he just needs the money. And like, you know, that's a little bit of a bummer because I mean, Craig, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's like not a good, healthy organization to take care of boxers when they are done. Boxing probably means that his management didn't help him with his money all that well. So I'm with this. It does seem like Evander Holyfield fighting this weekend was an embarrassment.
Yeah, well, one of the best and worst things I've ever been to is in upstate New York, the Boxing Hall of Fame. I went to the ceremony when Angelo Dundee got into the Hall of Fame. My family had dealings with him, and he invited us to go. It was great to see all the boxers, Davis. It was also horrible to see all the boxers. Oscar De La Hoya was supposed to fight in this one. He got COVID. He could not. Remember, De La Hoya is in his 50s. Holyfield's 58, got knocked out in the first round. This is such an embarrassment. I mean, literally, who is watching this? Who wants to watch this? Why even go through? Like, I would not even allow them to let Holyfield fight to accept money in this. It's more danger than anything else. The one boxer, Davis, that never allowed this to happen is Lennox Lewis. Like, he stopped early. He never got back into it. He knew what was at stake. He won championships. He made his money, and he was out. Evander Holyfield, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? 60 years old, still fighting? And Davis, you're probably right. It's probably for a buck. But my gosh, like, doesn't somebody have to come in and stop this thing? Like, and why boxing? Why not the other sports? But this is the one for the guy to get knocked out and have his face beat in. And it didn't even last a round, Davis. This is probably the biggest embarrassment I've ever seen. Reality, yes, for sure.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, I don't watch boxing anyway, but I am especially turned off with the idea of bringing these dudes back who are like, you know, in their 50s and their 60s. Like, what, you know, we hear about Tyson wanting to come back, and like Tyson's kind of a gross dude anyway. It's like, I don't know. Boxing for me has very little glitz and glamour. Like literally, in fact, the only time I have watched boxing, and I think honestly the only time I remember watching it in my life was Mayweather McGregor, because I had a used Ford Focus on Mayweather in that fight. You know, that was I'm really am not tuning in unless it's like the sports betting line of a decade.
Yeah, and I gotta listen, I still enjoy boxing and I enjoy good fights, and again, I've been to the Hall of Fame. I'm a huge fan of and support the sport, but we have to be better than this. We have to be better than digging. And I know Tyson trained a lot for his fight against the Paul brother, one of them, whoever it was. I understand that. And that was actually okay. It was watchable. There was some entertainment value. But when De La Hoya couldn't fight, it had to end at that point. I mean, just so sad to see this happen. I mean, it honestly should not be allowed. Embarrassing reality. Sports Grid 60 is coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. And we'll be right back here tomorrow recapping the Monday Night Football game, so stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I feel like we got a little bit of a salty Davis Maddock here on today's show after the first week of fantasy. Hopefully he's got some fun stuff for us to close out our day. as we turn it over to Davis for the Sports Grid 60.
So I get this all the time, every year. I've been doing this a long time. Every year in week one, I'll start to post some of my thoughts, be like, okay, this team did this. I expected them to do that. This team used this running back in this way. This team used this wide receiver in this way. And I always get this response, like, oh, don't overreact to week one. And we have been going off very little information up until this point. Did we know that Brandon Ayuk was going to be benched? Didn't have a clue. Did we know that Austin Eckler wasn't going to be targeted at all in week one? We didn't have a clue. Week one gives us lots of very useful information. And if you are not, you know, reacting and responding to the information that you get in week one, like to completely not adjust your priors, I think is a pretty bad idea. So definitely just a reminder that getting new information and responding to that new information is a good idea.
Very well said. Like the approach. All right. I want to end with a crime being committed in college football. And it happens every single year, and I'm tired of it, and I don't think it's ever going to change. And that is ranking Notre Dame in the top 10 every year. Based on what? I don't understand this. How in the world can Notre Dame be ranked in the top 10 or even top 5 every single year based on what exactly? They don't have the athletes. They're not very good. This is not the 1980s where you run and play defense in college football, and the season never ends up going well for them at the end of the season. But lo and behold, every August we'll come back, and in the AP Top 25, there's Notre Dame ranked in the top 10. 14-point favorites can barely beat Toledo. You know the season is not going to end well for them again. Stop ranking them so high. There's no reason for it. You're going to be disappointed in the end. That'll do it for the show. Thanks again to Connell and over at LTN. Thank you to Danny and Ryan for the graphics. Thanks to our producer, Brett Levy. And also, thanks to my co-host, Davis Manick. I'm Craig Mitt. I'll see you tomorrow. George Kurtz will be in for Davis. Have a great Monday, everybody. Enjoy the game.